Have you ever been in a situation, can you remember a situation in which what you longed to hear more than anything else was simply the words, "It's going to be okay"? Maybe you were sitting in a hospital room alone, and you knew that the doctor was coming in any minute, and she was going to deliver the news. And what you longed to hear more than anything in that moment was, "It's going to be okay." Or maybe what's top of mind tonight is concerns about a child or a family member. And maybe there's been some hard things that have happened. Maybe there's been some decisions that have been made. And you're concerned about pain in the future. You see the road ahead and it looks rough. And maybe if you could tonight, if you could just jump 10 years in the future and just get a glimpse, just enough to have the assurance, "Oh, okay, everything's going to be okay." That would change the equation for you tonight as you went to bed, because you would just know that everything's going to be okay. Or maybe for you, the stress point is financial. Maybe you're wondering, like, how does the business continue into the next year? How do we make the next mortgage payment? The bills are piling up. Maybe instead of a phone call, applying more pressure, applying another threat, what would really be beautiful is if you got a phone call maybe tonight from somebody who was a calm voice on the other side that was essentially able to say to you, "Hey, good news. We found something out, and it's going to be okay." Can you remember a time in your life, maybe you're in one right now, where what you really long to hear more than anything else is, "It's going to be okay"? We're in this season called Advent. We're wrapping it up tonight and tomorrow. 4 Sundays that lead up to the celebration of Christ's birth at Christmas and the anticipation of his return. And our church has been reflecting on the words of an ancient Jewish prophet who wrote while he and his nation were being carried into exile 2,700 years ago. And you might wonder, how could the writings of a man who lived on the other side of the planet and spoke a totally different language and lived in a completely different culture 2,700 years ago have any relevance to my life today? And that would be a reasonable thing to wonder, I think, especially in the face of so many pressing and current concerns, right? Especially when we're living under all these pressures and deadlines and family challenges, and things in your house keep breaking. I mean, it's you're probably looking to Google and YouTube for help, not necessarily consulting ancient Hebrew prophets for help, right? I imagine if you did look to the writings of Isaiah, well, you would read a couple, who, by the way, is the most quoted prophet by Jesus. There's a couple things you would notice. He has some scathing rebukes for his countrymen. Secondly, you'd read dozens of amazing and detailed predictions about the birth and the life and the death of a specific man who would save the Jewish people and more than just the Jews, but all people from all nations who looked to him. And those details and specific predictions would start to line up. In fact, there's nearly 100 of them would line up very specifically with Jesus, the life of Jesus. And if you did read the writings of Isaiah, you'd see these beautiful visions over and over and over again, spattered throughout his writing. These beautiful visions of the restoration of all things that might just inspire you to believe that everything is going to be okay. The reading for tonight is from Isaiah chapter 52. It's towards the end of the book. Isaiah is getting pretty intense. He's like, "Wake up! Free yourselves from the chains around your necks." I mean, he is calling the people to make a change. And then Isaiah 52 verse 4 having God give this summary to the Jews' sad story of oppression. God says this: "At first my people went down to Egypt. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now, what do I have here, declares the Lord? God's saying, first, Egypt imprisoned you, now Assyria's beating you up, and now what? Like, what's next? You've had this history of tragedy upon tragedy, and here comes another, and then God says this, I'm going to do something. Okay. I'm going to do something that is going to make my people know my name. And this is wonderful, welcomed news. This is a welcomed word from God. It is the indication that God himself is going to step in. God himself is going to intervene in this situation. And this is the message that the hurting have been longing to hear. This is good news, and this good news is beautiful to people whose life has been hard. God reveals to Isaiah that he himself is going to intervene in Isaiah's situation, the situation of his people. He is going to do something that is going to make the people know his name. And this is really good news. And so Isaiah responds to the good news of God by saying, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news." He's been having all these visions about mountains, the mountain of justice, the mountain of joy, the mountain of peace, the mountain of love. And now he's like, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. In fact, I thought it would be good for us to stand in response to this promise that God's going to do something and read this text together. If you're able, it's in your notes. It'll also be on the screens. Let's read together Isaiah's response to the word given by God to this prophet. Read with me. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. In other words, what Isaiah is saying is that when God acts, when God intervenes, it's good news. When God, in his goodness, decides, now's the time. I myself am going to do something. This will be the response of the people. They will tell the good news to other people. They will see the messengers bringing the good news, and even the sight of the messengers will be encouraging to them. They will hear the good news, and when they hear the good news, they will shout for joy. They will sing songs. Have you ever heard something and you literally just started dancing or singing because it was just such good news? It evoked this kind of response to you, almost childlike response. I'm just going to sing because this news is so good. Why is it so good? Because they've been hurting, right? They've been worrying, okay? They've been struggling. They've been beat down. They've been grieving. Because they will see God's strength displayed, now they're singing. It is good news. In other words, they're rejoicing because they're about to see God flex. Like, that's what it says. It says, God will lay bare his holy arm. God steps up and says, now I'm going to do some. And he like pulls his sleeve back in some sort of physical, like metaphysical sense or something. And it's like this demonstration. And the response is like, whoa, like that. I didn't know that was under that sleeve, right? That's there. This is a vision of celebration. This is a vision of joy. What are they celebrating? Why are they joyful? To quote Isaiah, that's the ancient Hebrew prophet, they're celebrating because all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. That's why they're celebrating. Because all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This demonstration of salvific strength, rescuing power, of the Lord our God. Friends, during the last four Sundays, this season of Advent. We've been reading and reflecting on these visions of Isaiah, which are all about restoration. That's kind of the big picture. They're all about restoration. We read Isaiah's vision about the restoration of peace. This vision that he has of people turning their weapons into farming tools, because the arrival of God's salvation is so perfect and so permanent that it doesn't really even make sense to train for war anymore. This restoration of complete peace. And we read about the restoration of justice, that when injustice and corruption, which leaves devastation, which Isaiah compares to a clear-cut forest, God, when God sees that and then will restore, will bring a new leader that kind of is born out of the ashes, so to speak, a shoot coming out of one of those devastated trees cut down by injustice, that God will raise up this righteous leader. That's the vision. And this new righteous leader will judge, not based on what he sees or hears, not based on perception or popularity, hearsay, but on the basis of true righteousness. So it'll be this restoration of actual justice. We read about Isaiah's vision of the restoration of joy, streams bubbling up in the desert. That's the image. Broken bodies being physically healed and restored. And then last week we read Isaiah's vision about the restoration of love, which is a really interesting one. This prophecy of a virgin birth, this image of a God who so loves the world that he sends his son. Doesn't just choose a man, he sends his son into the world to share life, to impact creation, a love so profound that it joins us, that it comes to be with us, that it says, I'll be with you in this pain, in this brokenness. It's the restoration, this articulation of love. So we've been looking at this restoration in parts. Did you see that? There's the peace part, there's the justice part, there's the joy part, there's the love part. And ultimately, today's text pulls together all the parts and puts them in a box and wraps it up and ties a bow on it and hands it to us as a gift. A Christmas gift. And then we open up the box, unwrap the paper, look inside, and everyone in the room leans forward and says, what is it? Right? And we answer with one word. It's salvation. Right? It's salvation. The Lord will bear his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This is the ultimate gift. This is the ultimate and final healing. This is the addressing of the ultimate need of people. This is holistic rescue. It's not just physical rescue, it's relational rescue. And it's not just relational rescue, it's economic or financial rescue. It's also emotional rescue. It's also spiritual rescue. You put all those rescues together, you add them all up, the physical, the relational, the financial, the emotional, the spiritual, and it adds up to salvation. That's the gift, all here in one. In other words, we feel the need for peace. We see the need for justice. We know the need for joy. I think we hunger for real love. My question tonight to myself and to all of you, my friends, is do we feel our deepest need? Do we see our deepest need? Do we know and recognize our deepest need? Do we hunger for the fulfillment of our deepest need? Do we recognize that what we need is not a little help over here and a little help over here? We need salvation. The whole thing. Entire, holistic, all of my life. Salvation. I got to tell you that I hesitated to use that word. It is the right word. I hesitated to use it because I think that for some of us, we hear this word and we think in very limited terms. We think it's just a spiritual thing, or we think it's just a personal thing, or we think it's just a thing that's going to maybe happen in another place and at another time. But that's a very anemic view of good news, isn't it? And that's not at all the vision of good news that we read in the prophet Isaiah or anywhere else in the Bible. There's nothing anemic about that vision of salvation. It is deep, it is wide, it is entire. It affects all of life, every part of it. Friends, of course it does. It is the glorious work of God. It is the ultimate move of God. It is the final act of restoring and rescuing his creation, which is an object of love of God. The rest of chapter 52 in Isaiah and all of chapter 53, Isaiah records details of this one who will bring this salvation to the world. Surprisingly, this vision, Isaiah sees an anointed one, a chosen one. He sees a rescuer. He sees a saver, a savior, but it's not some warrior king. It's a suffering servant, a man full of sorrows and familiar with suffering, who carries the burden of the people, takes it upon himself, a man who is pierced for our transgressions, who is punished for our sins, and yet in exchange offers us peace. This man, and if you're thinking, man, that sounds a lot like Jesus. Yep, it does. Yes, it does. That's what became clear. That's what the early church was convinced of. This man, this suffering and glorious servant who brings salvation to the whole world. Friends, he is the good news. So the core message of this ancient prophet Isaiah, which impacts the Christian scriptures deeply and still resonates today, is this. This is the message. It's embrace the good news. That's what it is. Look to Jesus, more specifically. Place your hope in Jesus. Place your trust in Jesus. Are you in pain? Call out to Jesus. As you face grief and you face disappointment, run. Don't walk. To Jesus. The deep conviction, friends, of the Christian church around the world and throughout time has been in the face of all kinds of trouble because of Jesus, everything's going to be okay. Because of Jesus, everything's going to be okay. All will see the salvation of our God. Amen? I want to invite you to take a minute of just silence before all of the busyness of the next 24 hours. And allow what is for many of you probably a very familiar truth, some room to do some work in your heart and in mine. Let's pray to the Lord. Let's just wait on the Lord for a minute. Please feel free to pray whatever you need to pray. If you don't have the words, pray these with me. God, I need peace. But I don't just need peace, I need justice. But I don't just need justice, I need more than justice. I need real hope. I need the restoration of joy. I need to know your love. God, I need the whole package. I need the full gift. I acknowledge my need for salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, rescue us. Save me. May the celebration of your birth and the anticipation of your return happen within the context of our longing for you as our Savior. May this be profoundly personal and truly public in the sense that it makes a huge impact everything around us. We look to you for our help. I thank you for coming, our Lord and our King. Amen. Amen. And stand up with me. There is a refrain that is being said at the end of all the prayer times in Benedictine monasteries today, Christmas Eve. It goes like this. Today, you will know that the Lord is coming, and tomorrow, you will see his glory. Alleluia. Today, you will know that the Lord is coming, and tomorrow, you will see his glory. Alleluia. Let's say that together. Today, you will know that the Lord is coming, and tomorrow, you will see his glory. Alleluia. May the peace of Christ be always with you.